Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
You probably saw a picture of my mom. I posted it. One of the things my mom, the kids couldn't wait here all the time, she would bring bags of jelly beans. And the kids couldn't wait till she got there. You'll see a picture on my Facebook page when Ben and Lisa were really little. And they would bring jelly beans. So that picture of her, I think she initially arrives, and she's there, you know, a short amount of time. She gets out the jelly beans, and they're all holding them up like, jelly beans. But then she takes them away because she just doesn't give it to them. She does homework with them, and she reads to them and helps them with things, and then they get rewarded with the jelly beans. So they always look forward to Nana coming. So, and we miss her greatly. But our series this month is called I Am Determined. And one of the things that I want to talk about this morning is how that not only moms but dads and families, that we are determined that our households will serve the Lord. There has to be a determination. There has to be an effort towards that. And the first scripture is found in Joshua chapter 24 and the verse in the Old Testament in verse 15. Says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, here's Joshua talking, then choose for yourselves. How many know it's a choice? Yeah. We all need to choose, individually as well as family-wise. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, whether you serve the gods of the New Age or the gods of other religions, choose who you're going to serve, in whose land you are living. But as for me, Joshua says, and my household, I declare this day that I am determined that my house will serve the Lord. My kids, my house will attend church. We will worship the one and true living God. And I am determined to be the first example of that, Joshua says. How many know parents are an example? And they follow your example more than they follow your words. And so go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. The New Testament, this is after Paul and Silas were delivered from jail supernaturally, miraculously. And this scripture came about as they were ministering to the jailer. They went to the jailer's household and they made this statement. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. You and your household. So this is a declaration that we can be constantly making, whether we see our kids serving God or not, those who have left the fold, that we need to begin or start or continue to confess that my kids will serve the Lord all the days of their life. Me and my household, we are going to serve God. We are going to put God first. We are going to get up no matter what on Sunday, and we're going to attend church. I want my kids to see me worshiping God. I want them to see me involved in church. I want them to see me doing ministry. It's a very high percentage that your kids will continue to love church when you love church. When you speak well of church, and don't always complain about Pastor Bob's sermon after Sunday, right? when you are involved in church, when you're involved in church, your kids will be involved in church. The mentality of just drop your kids off and go shopping and let them babysit your kids, it doesn't work long term. Is when they see you engaged and they see your heart engaged in the ministry, they'll follow. They'll see the value of it. When they do leave home and they do go to college, they'll look for a church. They'll look for as many faith community to be involved in. And that's really important. You know, as many American mothers know, balancing work and family can be really, really difficult. Quite challenging, whether married or single. Motherhood is rewarding, but it's challenging. Very challenging. I read a story recently that I wanted to talk about this morning about Joanna Gaines. Anybody know Joanna? Joanna Gaines and Chip, they are the hosts of Flip That House, right? Or Fixer Upper. It's called Fix, not Flip. No, not Flip That House. Fixer Upper. And they're from Texas. Good, how many know there's a lot of good Christians in Texas? Texas is definitely so much more conservative than the Northwest. And the majority of people going to church this morning is huge compared to the Northwest in Texas. Well, Joanna, she's pretty. She's not as pretty as my wife this morning, as always, right? You look good, honey. Like your dress. She's creative. She's and she's a strong believer. And you can sense that. They're not overly evangelistic on their show, but you can just tell there's something different about this couple and this family. If you've never watched the show, don't start watching it because your wife will want one of the houses that they renovate, all right? Like, I want that kitchen. I want that backsplash. I want that flooring. She has just a knack for decorating. And so so Joanna, she's affectionately known as JoJo, JoJo Gaines. And in her blog, she writes about her successes, but she also is very transparent about writing about her struggles and being a working mom. And her words are really raw. They're real. But she was raised in the Lone Star State. Her father was a businessman, actually owned a tire shop. So she already had that entrepreneurial spirit. And but growing up wasn't easy. She was bullied as a child for her heritage. I think her dad was like Lebanese, and the mom was Asian. So she has that mixture of that look. So she was bullied, and she bought into the lie that she wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough. So I actually have a video testimony I wanted to show you of Joanna. And if you've never met her before, be introduced this morning, and you'll fall in love with the woman. So let's watch. Lights off.
I remember as a little girl, my mom was Korean and my father was Caucasian, and I never knew there was anything different about myself until I started going to school. And I'll never forget an experience I had with a school lunchroom. You know, I remember standing there and seeing the sea of people. It felt like all eyes were on me, and I was thinking, you know, who's going to be my friend? Who am I going to sit with? I started walking through that lunchroom, and then I remember darting straight out, and I found a bathroom, locked myself in a stall. But in those moments is when I really believe that, you know, as we all do, I grew up and I grew out of the insecurities, had great friends, great childhood. And I remember in those times, I heard him specifically say, you know, Joanna, I have a calling for you. You're going to have a platform one day. And I remember thinking, what does that even mean? And I remember hearing God say, Joanna, there's going to come a time where I'm going to say for you to go, and I'm going to need you to step out and go. After graduating college, you know, a couple years later, I end up meeting this handsome, rugged cowboy who was hilarious, Chip Gaines. And we got married, and he knew that I had this whole thing of businesses that I wanted to start, but he also knew I was never going to just take the risk and start them. I just dreamed about them. And he really encouraged me to step out and make one of those dreams happen. And we opened Magnolia Market together, and I loved it. You know, but at that time, I was also pregnant with my second child, and I really felt like God was saying, hey, I want you home. I want you raising these babies at home at this age. And I remember the last day, you know, we're closing the shop down and I'm crying because, again, I feel like it's the end of a dream. And I hear God say very clearly, he said, Joanna, if you trust me with your dreams, I'm going to take Magnolia further than you could have ever dreamed. So just trust me. And I remember hearing that and feeling completely peaceful about it. And I walked away. Well, a couple years ago, we get this call from a production company, and they ask us to film a quick video of our family and what we do as a business, and that turned into the show that we have now. You know, Chip and I laugh. We look back and we just go, how did this all happen? And I remember last year, in January, Chip and I took a trip to Arizona, and we were driving around, and we found this really beautiful garden. And Chip said, I'm going to drop you off here. I'm going to give you about an hour, and I want you to kind of reflect on the year before and then just let God speak to you about what this next year is going to look like. And he dropped me off, and I'm sitting under this tree, and I felt like God said, Joe, it's time. And I was like, time for what? And he said, it's time to reopen your store. And I said, I don't think I can do that. And just cool and calm, no, it's time. May of last year, we reopened the shop on Bosque, the little shop on Bosque. And now I look back and I go, God, your promise that you spoke years ago, I'm now seeing. I trusted you with my dream, and you've taken it far beyond what I could have ever dreamed or imagined. You know, I can look back now in the pattern of my life and really believe God has a purpose for me, but he also has a purpose for you. And on the other side of that is the enemy, where he knows where to hit. He knows to hit below the belt. He's going to have that fear be, if you fail, and what if you fail in front of all these people? What if you fail and don't find someone in that lunchroom? What if your business fails? Whether it's you're staying home with your children and you're raising beautiful babies, or you're the CEO of a multi-million dollar company, let God speak into your life. Let his father heart come and say, this is what I have for you. And I think that's the key, not believing the lies, fixing our eyes on Jesus and walking in that truth.
Excellent. They not only do they do the show, but they actually speak at conferences. And I saw a video of her husband. He was speaking at a men's advance, a men's retreat. And he said, I really have a word from the Lord. And I may get sued for this. I don't know if this is proper. He goes, I really feel the Lord told me to stage dive. So all the men came forward, and he jumps out into the crowd and surfs across the crowd and comes back. And, you know, he's just a crazy guy if you've never watched the show. And it's really endearing. But, you know, she was unable to manage both the store and her family. And she made that heartbreaking decision to close a shop that was successful. It was tough and it was emotional, yet she trusted God's plan. Trusted him to say goodbye to everything she had worked so diligently to build. And so she could be home with her kids. She said this, she says, I remember the last day, you know, we're closing the shop down and I'm crying because it's the end of a dream. And I feel like I hear God say very clearly, Joanna, if you trust me with your dreams, I'm going to take Magnolia further than you could have ever dreamed, so just trust me. I remember hearing that and feeling completely peaceful about it, and I walked away. Ultimately, knowing God's word and remembering his goodness is what enabled her to walk away. You know, there's seasons of life. Yeah. And we have to understand that the season that we're in, our own flesh and the devil will try to push us out of seasons and neglect certain seasons in life. There's seasons to not have any kids when you first get married. There's seasons to, when you do have kids, to focus on them and to input into them. And if you have dreams and visions beyond that, sometimes you need to wait till they're out of the house, you know, or whenever God, you know, prompts you to begin that next season. And within those seasons, we need to take the time to really study his word and cultivate our faith for what God is doing. We need to speak like we talked about last week, speak like Abraham and call those things that aren't as though they are. You know, you see the seasons, God shows you things to come in the spirit. Well, begin to speak them out. Begin to not just pray, but say. And speak those things into the atmosphere. Because it's those preemptive things that open up the opportunities in the spiritual realm for us to go out and to fulfill God's word for our life. We should always not only be seizing the moment, but there's a part of us that is always looking forward and looking ahead to the dreams and visions that God has for us. And balancing those. If all you're doing is looking ahead at the future and neglecting the here and now, that's not what God wants. So there needs to be that balance. The promise in Isaiah chapter 55 is a great promise. It says, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, or the King James Version says, it will not return to me void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word does not return void. And if you have a word from the Lord, pray for the right season, pray for the right timing, and God will lead you down that path. Continue to pray, continue to study, continue to seek him, continue to put him first, and God will help you to fulfill the words that he's spoken to you. Those unfulfilled dreams, what happens is it establishes deeper levels of trust as we begin to trust him. Begin to pray prayers. You know, when we ask God for things, initially when I pray, I'll ask God for things, and then my prayer after that turns into prayers of thankfulness. So instead of continually asking God in doubt, I'll ask one time, but I will continue to pray, and I'll just say, I thank you, God, for the things that I've already asked you. I thank you, Lord, for the future. I thank you, Lord, for the visions that you have for me. You know, and just reminding myself, reminding God, and speaking into the atmosphere those things that aren't as though I see them or as God sees them and God shows me by faith. Being thankful is so important. Joanna said this, our family has made a commitment. She was determined to put Christ first. A lifestyle our parents modeled for us very well, her mom and her dad. They showed us how to keep our marriage and family centered around God. As for the show Fixer Upper, we have been surprised at the impact of our faith through the show. We haven't been overtly evangelical, but the rich feedback we've received on family and love all source from our faith. Jesus said, the world would know his disciples by their love for one another. And we've glimpsed this in practice and strive for it every day. You turn to Ephesians, listen to what Paul, I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. But just listen to this. Listen to what Paul encouraged the Ephesians to do. Paul said, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, all heaven and earth. All of us have a piece to play. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives in the fullness of God. And then continuing on, it says, God can do anything. You know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working with us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Motherhood can be difficult. It's not instant gratification. It takes faith to be a parent. It takes faith to be a mom. As you impart into your kids, we don't see immediate results. As we open up the Bible and read, as we have the Trombi household has famous Trombi meetings. And as they get older, they don't want to come. They're like, oh no, another Trombi meeting. They're going to tell us what we're doing wrong, what they don't like, in front of each other. I mean, if it's really personal, we'll pull them aside, you know. But famous Trombi meetings, and then devotionals, you know. And you think to yourself, is it really getting through? Are they really listening? You know, as you're sitting there reading the Bible, they got their little phone on the side. We're like, turn your phone off, please. Listen, church, that you're teaching. You know, I truly believe in God and about God's plan for the earth. which is the church. I don't know about you, but we have always been determined to raise our kids in church. If you think about this promise found in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, King James says it the best. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. This is the promise, training. Not just discipline, but training. Good training is not crisis management. It's what you do before the need of discipline arises. Most parenting can be accidental rather than deliberate. It's not like all of a sudden we're just born and we and have kids, get married, have kids, and automatically know how to be a parent. No, parenting is something we learn. It's either by default or hopefully you've read a book along the way or taken a class along the way. Because like my wife said this morning, we've all made crazy mistakes. Because what happens is we will default back to the way our parents did it. Do you ever notice? You've said to yourself, I will never say what my mom said to my kids. And then in the midst of frustration, you find yourself saying it, and then you walk away and say, dang, I can't believe I said that. Or I will never do to my kids what my parents did. You know, unless you learn something different, you'll revert to back what you the way you've learned and what you're used to. But we purpose to train, and we purpose to communicate with our kids. To not is to shove your kids into a sea of choices and passions without a boat, with a boat and no compass. It can be overwhelming, I know. When your kids are just babies and you're changing diapers and you're hating the whining, you know, and the crying and they won't go to bed. You guys have that struggle? Anybody having that struggle right now? And you're just completely frustrated. Finally, I just talked to a parent recently about this. Finally, they go to sleep. And your wife and you sit down in the living room and you're like, ah, peace. You know, the greatest joy is when they start sleeping on their own. Amen. The greatest joy is when they stop coming into your bed, right? So you can actually sleep. We actually bought a king-size bed for that very reason. I was like, okay, we are not, this full is not working, and this queen is not working anymore. We got three kids. We got a king-size bed because I would end up on the edge of the bed with my arm flapping off, you know, with half the blankets on my body and all the kids lined up thinking, this is ridiculous. You know, I didn't get married until I was 30 years old. We had our child when I was 33. And that first night that I had lost sleep after 33 years, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. 33 years of good sleep. I had my time. It's back now. Hallelujah. Thank God. I mean, I just want to encourage you because one day you're going to be sitting around your table and, for example, it's your mom's day breakfast or your birthday breakfast, and then you'll realize how thankful their little hearts are, and they'll come to you and say, thank you for being my mom. Thank you for being my dad. Thank you for all that you've taught me. Thank you for all the annoying times where I just hated you, you know, or I didn't want to listen. Hopefully they listen more than they didn't, right? They will be thankful for those family meetings and those talks, those times you pulled them aside. They'll be thankful for all those times you drug them to church when they didn't want to go. You know, get your ass, it's time for church. I do it this morning. It's like, come on, get up, time for church, time for church, time for church. And, you know, my kids, there's no resistance after so many years. It's like, okay, this is what we do on Sunday. Those times when you drag them to youth group, you know, and you drove all the way from Clackamas every Wednesday to youth group, faithfully bringing your kids, they will thank you one day. They will thank you for all that you've done. They'll thank you for the stand that you took against sin, the stand that you took against disobedience, and the stand that you took for your faith. Someday they're going to notice mom's homemade meals again, and it'll look better than Chipotle and McDonald's, right? After they spent, you know, a year away somewhere at school and didn't have a home-cooked meal, they'll be begging for your soup, honey. Hallelujah. But I want to encourage you to cherish the moment that you live in now. And cherish them. Don't miss the view while you're climbing up the mountain. Amen? Because you can get so tired. We were climbing up Monomoy Falls. We went halfway because we didn't have a lot of time. But you can get so huffy and puffy, you can just stop and miss the view as you look to your left and see the Columbia Gorge or see the waterfall. Don't miss the view. Enjoy yourself. Many of you have fought for your kids. You've fought infertility. You've fought miscarriage. You've fought even the loss of a child. So whether you're a mom right now in the middle of raising your babies, or you find yourselves in the throes of immense pain dealing with things, I want to let you know that this day is for you. And we honor you. God honors you. With your husbands and your fathers in the faith, we applaud you. And we honor you. And we hope that you feel loved today. No matter what the season you find yourself in, just know this. That you are doing enough and you are enough. Amen? That you are loved and that you are appreciated. Take a few moments to look around and appreciate your children and the stage that they're in. I know for some of you moms, the thought of them growing up and leaving the home causes you to burst into tears. So this Mother's Day, milk it for all at-home moms. You need to not believe the lie that you're not doing enough. Amen? That can find its way into your mind. You know, balance is really important. Dads, if your wife is a stay-at-home mom, you need to give them the time to go do some of their own things. You know, when you come home from work, you've been talking all day to adults and they've been talking all day to kids. She's yearning for adult conversation. And you can't just come home and say, I've used up all my words today. Because that's what happened with us. We purposed, no matter what, that we were going to, you know, she was going to stay home and raise the kids. And up to a certain point, she did that. And she's home with three children, three little ones, running around the house. And I would come home, and I'm all happy. And I went out to lunch, you know, and did ministry and, you know, had a great time. She came home, she'd be like, you take them. And then she's gone. And off. What's for dinner, you know? Seriously. That did not happen often. But there was those days. If you didn't learn to cook, husbands, it's about time. You know, one of the things about family will always be. You can't get rid of them. So you better learn to get along with them. Amen? You are enough. Don't allow those feelings to lie to you that you're not doing enough. As a working mom, it's hard when your kids grab you as you're walking out the door and say, Mommy, please stay home. And we don't want to ignore that, but take the time to explain to them why and communicate with them. Take the time to explain to them that being with them is your favorite thing in all the world. Yet, you've got to go to work just like they got to go to school. Help them to understand that mom and dad have a big job to do, but your number one job and your number one passion and the reason why you do go to work is because of them. Amen? Amen? To provide for them. So if we're going to go downstairs and get the kids and any kids that are in the rooms and have them come on up. And we want to honor you moms this morning. I think there's some tissues on the front row. These are flowers from our garden that I cut this morning. Lilies are important to us because they always come out on Lily's birthday, and that's the nickname we gave Lisa. So, yeah. Who started calling her Lily? Yeah, Lily. Little Lisa, and they always bloom on her birthday, which is coming up this week, so, or next week. She's not that little anymore. Yeah. She's 18. Almost 19. After being a teenager, once you turn 20, you have no more excuse anymore. Not a teenager anymore. All right, so we'll wait for the kids to come on in, and they can just come in and sit with you. Can we, when we do the video, can we turn those stage lights off? Oh, yeah. While we're doing that, does anybody else want to buy a raffle ticket to win? It's a $1 ticket, or you can buy for $5, you can get 6 tickets. Girls, stand up. Oh, $4 for 5 tickets. Anybody else want a raffle ticket? There's chocolate-covered strawberries. What else is in there? Coconut macaroons. Oreo bark. And what else? The whole thing. Napoleon. Oh, that. So they win the whole thing. Oh, there's 2 to give away? All right. Anybody else want to buy some? Get out your dollars. Right, you can write a check to City Park Church if you want. But all the money goes to the Liberty Offering. All right, here come the kids. You guys can go sit with your parents. And they're going to bring those up and we'll raffle it off at the end of service. It has to be in the refrigerator because of the chocolate. So, thank you guys. Thank you for teaching the kids today, even though it's Mother's Day. Maddie. Anybody? And Troy. Anybody else need a ticket? Another raffle here. We got some up here, you guys. You guys want to split up and bring some of those tickets up the front here? Just pull off some roll. The two of you go about it. Lisa, can you help them? Thank you. I hope that you have a really nice dinner planned for your mom. If not, take her around. Anybody else need some tickets? You haven't seen it? What's that? Shrimp salad. How's your mom's going? Anybody else need some tickets? Oh, yeah, back in the sound booth back there. Autumn back there with her beautiful family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a good confession. As for me and my kids, we will serve the Lord. I am determined. We are determined. you and your households will be saved. Every one of them have been bound. Saved, sealed, delivered, set free, serving God. Amen? So this morning, we're going to transition to the video. Turn the lights off. And we're going to honor the moms of our house. Stage lights off, guys.